Lord, as we are here before you today, help us to understand, Lord, that you have plans for our lives. Plans for our lives as individuals and plans for this congregation as we walk with you and seek your will. Lord, we don't know those plans all the time, but Lord, in the Bible, you said you have planned to do certain things for us. So this morning, Lord, as we discover the plans that you have for us, help us to rest in the promises of the plans that you have shared in your word. We thank you, Lord God, for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past several weeks, you've heard me talking a lot about the plans that God has for us. And some of you may be wondering, how does Pastor Jonathan know that the Lord has plans for us? Well, it's similar to what the children and I were talking about last week. How do we know Jesus loves us? It's not just because the Bible tells us so. It's because we know deep down in our heart that the Lord is constantly with us and loves us. And this is really no different than God's plans for us. The Bible tells us that God has plans for his people. And those of you who have walked closely with the Lord will know that he has done some things in your life. He has altered your course. He has brought you down different paths. He has brought you this way when you thought that you were going that way. And at the time, you probably wondered what on earth was going on. But looking back, you can see the hand of God in all of it. I'm so thankful that the Lord has plans for us, because that makes life exciting. He has a purpose for us. And that's good to know, because we don't have to come up with our own plans. Because as you know, some of our own plans don't work out all that well at times. Sometimes our plans end up like that of a bunch of convicts who, in 1975, began planning to dig a tunnel out of a jail in Mexico. These 75 men thought that the tunnel would bring them up at the other sides of the wall of Saltillo Prison. So after their planning, they set to work. And on April 18, 1976, their plans were accomplished. Except, instead of the tunnel exiting on the other side of the prison walls, when they reached the surface, they found out that they had tunneled right up into a nearby courtroom filled with police, who quickly arrested them. It was for situations similar to this that Robert Burns penned the words, "The plans of mice and men often go astray." That's why it is a blessing to know that God has plans for us. It doesn't matter if you are old or young, a boy or girl, man or woman, rich or poor, educated or not, single or married, employed, unemployed, retired. The Lord has plans already in place for our lives before we were even born. And when we enter into a living relationship with Jesus, we can claim the promise of Ephesians 2:10, which says, "We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." The Lord just loves to make plans for his people. And those plans are always good plans. In our reading this morning, we heard the words of God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. Even though the people were in a difficult situation because they had chosen to worship false idols instead of the true living God, the Lord said to them, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Even when they were troubled, unsure, and doubtful about their future, and even when they didn't have any plans for themselves, the Lord stressed to them that he had plans for them, good plans for a hope-filled future. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord always has us on his mind, and that he is constantly thinking about us? It's really amazing that the Creator of all things, all things seen and unseen, thinks about us all the time. It was that amazement that likely inspired King David to write in Psalm 8, 3 to 4. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? It's humbling, to say the least, that Almighty God thinks of us, each one of us, all the time. We could think that sometimes those thoughts are not so good, but we are told that those thoughts and those plans are for good and not for disaster. They are plans to give us a good future and a true hope. And that is one of the reasons that Jesus came. Since we could never reach God's standard of holiness, Jesus had to come to us. And one of the things that he said while on earth in John 10 was that he came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. The Apostle Paul understood that message. He understood the limitations of human plans, but the greatness of God's plans. For he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." Now, if we were to attempt to discuss all the plans that God has for us, we'd be here for a long time, because God has so many plans in store for us. Psalm 45 says, "O Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all of your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them." Yes, God has numerous plans for us that are found in the Bible. And he has plans for us individually and as a congregation. And we will see them come to pass when we truly follow him. But for the sake of time, I want to just look at a few of the plans that God has for believers in Christ. First, God has plans to prosper us. That comes straight from Jeremiah 29, 11. That means that the Lord wants us to be successful, to grow, to flourish, to excel, and do good things. It means that the Lord wants us to be victorious in all that we do. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel here. You know how it goes. Give to God, and God will give you whatever you want. This is not what this verse is saying. Because being prosperous isn't about getting bigger houses, acquiring newer cars, and having more and more money. In fact, many people in this world have all of those things, but they aren't truly prosperous within themselves because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Instead, these things of the world are being used to try and fill the void that only Jesus, our Creator, can fill. True prosperity comes down to our relationship with Jesus. True prosperity is not depending upon your bank account, but on your relationship with the Lord. It's depending upon Jesus to supply all of your needs. I don't think that there's anything wrong with prospering financially, so long as you use what you have for God's work in this world. But God wants us to prosper in so many other things. God wants us to prosper in wisdom, in understanding, and in the knowledge of his word. He wants us to prosper in the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. He wants us to prosper in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, with people at work, with people at church, and in our community. The Lord wants you to prosper in school, in your business, and at your job. He wants you to prosper with good health and with a good mind and in your ministry, and in the gifts that he has given you. In a nutshell, the Lord wants to prosper you in every area of your life. But there's a bit of a catch, because we have our part to play as well. Remember the if-then principles of the Bible I've talked about sometimes? For the Lord to lead us to true prosperity, we need to do some things. The Bible tells us that we need to seek the Lord. We will never be able to follow the Lord if we were just looking at ourselves or others. 2 Chronicles 26 tells us of a young king by the name of Uzziah. He was only 16 when he was made king by the people, but he was wise, because we are told that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he sought God. And we are told that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. That's a great lesson and a great reminder that for us to be led to godly prosperity, we need to constantly keep our eyes upon Jesus. We're also told that we need to believe in the Lord and trust in his word. In Chronicles 20:20, a man by the name of Jehoshaphat, I love that name, stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, the ones who speak the truth of God's word, and you shall prosper." It's so important to believe in the Lord and to believe in the promises of his word. But unfortunately, some Christians don't understand the power of God's written word. The Bible isn't just a book. It's something that is alive, something that is powerful. And that is why we are instructed again and again by the Lord to continually meditate and obey the words of the Bible. Joshua 1:8 says, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." How many of you want to prosper and succeed in all that you do? Anybody? Then what do we have to do? We're told to meditate on God's word day and night. Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do." Isn't it good to know that the Lord has good plans for us, plans to prosper us? But you also know that the Lord has plans to love us. Even when we mess up, say the wrong things, think the wrong thoughts, God still plans to love us no matter what. He's going to love us despite our faults and love us despite our weaknesses. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself." The reason why God loves us so much is because God himself is love. And the Bible really is God's love letter to us. The Holy Spirit said this beautifully through the Apostle John when he wrote, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." That's good news for someone like me, because no matter how I may have messed up, God still loves me. And the same is true for you. But we can't get hung up just on God's love. Because as you know, God is also the God of holiness and justice. Yes, we all make mistakes, but we are told that to be saved, we need to turn from our sins and follow Jesus. We can't go around doing our own thing and say, "It's okay, God loves me, he understands, he wants me to be happy." That kind of thinking is called cheap grace, and the Lord doesn't take it lightly. Jesus loves us unconditionally. And he will forgive us when we do wrong, but we need to purpose in our hearts to live for him. The Lord has plans to prosper us. He loves us. And sometimes when we realize that his plans for us are huge, we can get a little bit fearful. That's why the plans that he has for us need to be accomplished by depending completely upon him. The Lord will likely ask us to do things that we think are way beyond us. But we have God's promises to always make a way. We need to cling to the promise of Ephesians 3:20, which says, "Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." So what is God able to do? Everything. He is able to save us, to keep us from falling, to supply our every need, to heal our diseases. He is able to deliver us by turning bad situations around to make them work for our good. He is able to sustain us when we're going through some stormy situations. He's able to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's able to lead us and guide us. He is able to build you up when you feel that you have been torn down. He's able to strengthen you when you feel that you are weak. And He is able to forgive you and cast away your sin as far as the east is from the west. And the reason why God is able to do those things is because Jeremiah 32:17 says, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, too hard for God. The Lord has great plans for us. And He will give us all that we need to accomplish those plans individually and as a congregation. Do you know what I think the greatest plan of God is? It is His plan to never leave us or forsake us. We should know that in our hearts as we walk with Jesus on this journey of life. And the Bible confirms this truth in passages such as Hebrews 13:5, which says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And as you know, Jesus Himself told us this in the Great Commission. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter how lonely you may feel in this life, just know that God will be right by your side because He promised never to leave you or forsake you. No matter what tough situation you may be going through right now, God will always be there. No matter how hard the plans that God has for us, no matter how lonely it might feel to put those plans into action, no matter what, we can always stand on the great and wonderful promise of God that He will be with us every step of the way. But just because the Lord plans to prosper us, it does not mean that we will never experience some problems. We will experience all kinds of trouble, pain, heartaches, disappointment, trials and tribulations in this life. But what a great blessing it is to know that God has plans to see us through all of those things. And when God brings you through your trials and those tribulations, there will be a testimony to tell. You'll be able to stand up on a Sunday morning and share the great news of what God has done. And you know what? Since God has some great plans for us, I think that we should make some great plans for Him. The Bible tells us to praise the Lord. We should purpose in our hearts to praise Him all the time. We're also told to purpose in our hearts to learn more and more about Jesus so that we can live for Him. And we should plan that whatever we do so acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways. But the greatest plan that you should have when it comes to you and God is to make sure that you have entered into a personal relationship with Him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. And the only way that God's plans for you will come about is by having a relationship with Him. So as you and I face the future that God has for us, let us do so, not with anxiety and worry about what to do, but with a humble, praying heart that constantly seeks God's plan for our lives. And let us rest upon His promises that He plans to prosper us, that He loves us, and that He will never, ever leave us. Amen.